And welcome back to the third episode of the Frighteners podcast. Don't get us confused with the movie The Frighteners, because that's a good movie, and this is not the Frighteners movie. This is the Frighteners podcast. Don't get us confused with the movie. I should change the name, because it is kind of confusing, but still, I think I'm gonna roll with it for now. We have two to three stories today. They're kind of big stories, so most probably just two, you never know. And both of them are from theoccultmuseum.com. One of them is a ghosts photos article that has to do with 12 different ghost photos that are supposed to be really convincing. And the other story is a story about paranormal games to play at the dark, or tonight in the dark. I'll read the real title when it's time to read the title, but until then, we will get you to the first story. And our first story is 12 convincing paranormal pictures that will make you believe. Volume 1. Source: theoccultmuseum.com. They got some pretty good stories on their website, whether you believe in this stuff or not. I don't think you should either, kind of the tagline of the show, but it's pretty interesting stories. If you just like the stories, they got good stories. If you believe in these stories, they're good. They're, for the most part, well written and not too condescending towards people that don't believe, or too one-sided. It seems to be mostly fluff pieces and entertainment articles, but for the most part, you know, they're fun and occulty and whatnot, and I like them, even though I don't believe a word of them. The headline of this story is, "If you're not already a believer in the paranormal, this convincing collection of ghost sightings may just change your mind." Quick editor's note on this article. I took photography classes a couple years back, and so I know what to look for with double exposure, lens flare, lighting mishaps, even artifacts on digital cameras, because that's a thing. You can be taking a picture of something, and especially with a low-res camera phone or just a low-res digital phone, you can get artifacts and pixels out of the way, or dead pixels in some photos, and a lot of people look at that and go, "Look, ghosts!" when all it is just a dead pixel or an artifact from a digital camera that can be explained away by either malfunctioning camera equipment on the digital side, or just bad lighting, or lighting you didn't know about, or smoke in the way, or camera straps looking like tube ghosts, whatever. But, you know, I know a few things about lighting, photography, f-stops, and shutter speed, and this, that, and the other, and I can tell you what motion blur is and why motion blur happens on cameras, even digital cameras that have a fixed shutter speed that you can't change, and if the action is moving quicker than the shutter speed that is fixed on the camera, whether it's on a camera phone or a digital camera or what, it's going to be blurry and streaky, and it might accidentally look like a ghost. First photo here is the screaming ghost photo. I also have all 12 of these photos saved on my computer, so as I'm talking about them, I will also be looking at them. So it's not like I'm going off of memory or anything like that. I'm actually going off of what I see. And I got the description written down here. And the description is, "A photo took in 1984 of a teenager that was a victim of a deadly car crash. This photo was shot shortly after the accident with a 35mm camera, for the record." That tells me, that sentence right there, or just the statement of using a 35mm camera, lets me know, before I finish this description, that it is a film camera. And most film cameras, especially if they're shooting at night, they will use a slow shutter speed, even with what looks like they're using the flash with low shutter speed at the same time, because there's a lot of blurring and ghost and quote-unquote ghost lines, like, you know, lines from the door opening and closing, or a double, triple shot of the window that it look that that allow that is blurred as the door is either been opened or shut as the person was taking the photo. But 35 millimeter film, probably the way the photo looks, it's probably 100 ISO, and it might be on 160 to 175 on the shutter speed. 160 would be probably fast enough. Actually, it might even be a slower shutter speed. But I do see the blowout of flash and everything like that. But, and see, for the record. And when the picture was developed, the cops were puzzled and shocked by what they saw. Clearly, above the open driver's side door, and shows clearly visible above the open driver's side door, it appears to be a head and shoulders of a young man that looks like it is screaming. And the condensation, context or condensation of the description here is that the photo is of the dead kid. And let me click back on the photo real quick. Click, click. And let's see here. I can see it looks like a head, but at the same time, It also looks like, looking at the picture a little more than I have before, looks like the person that took the picture was taking the picture through a window, or through the window of their car. That would be the most logical way that you see the see why there's a head above the open driver's side door, because that looks like about the same height as what a on-camera flash would be. So, an on-camera flash, it looks like the on-camera flash is either reflecting off the inside of a cop car window or a car window. I'm going to assume a cop car window because the photo was taken by a police officer. And it also could be just the fog of the night reflecting it back and making it look like a head above everything. Because I bet if you took this photo without the flash and at the correct shutter speed, an f-stop, and make it where the camera doesn't move like you're supposed to when you have it on a low shutter speed and not handheld. You're only supposed to hold, unless if you got a really, 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 really steady hand, almost a hand of a dead person, you might get away with 1/35th of a second, maybe 1/40th to 1/50th of a second. But you go any lower than 1/35 and just breathing and you'll get shakes at the camera. And I still wouldn't try it, even if you think you got a super steady hand, because when I take pictures with a 35 millimeter camera at a low shutter speed, if it's 50 or below, I try to find a surface to set it on or put it on my tripod. If it's 50 or above, I can usually hold my breath, and usually 60 is fine. You can do jumping jacks and take perfect pictures at 60 at a 60th of a second. But, and as long as your shutter speed's set correctly for the 60th of a second, it won't let too much light in, the photo will look right, and it won't look blurry. Like this photo. Because it looks like the person was either... It looks like the person took it out... Like, I still say it looks like they took it outside of a window. No real context. I'm just doing detective photoing work. And very easily could be, very simply, just reflection of the light either off of the window of the inside of the car or off of the fog that I can obviously see that is around. I can obviously see the smoke and or fog that's around it, and that's all the flash needs. It's just a little bit of smoke or a little bit of fog to reflect back, and you got yourself a completely shit fucking photo like this one. And kind of like the same principle of driving with your high beams on in the fog. No matter how light the fog is, you have your high beams on, and it's going to reflect back at you and wash out the road and make it look all super bright and whatnot, when it's not really that bright because you're just reflecting your headlights back. So it's just one of those. And I will give it, it does look like there is a man screaming above said open door. But like I said, it's just either, I still say. But like I said, looking at the photo, let me click back on it because I had to fucking pause my thing. Had to get a drink of soda. I still say it looks like they're shooting, either shooting through a window of a car, side window of a car, or that's just reflection of the light from the smoke and fog of the night. Hey, guess what? Photo one explained. Well, at the very least, from the top of my head. And I always take the Ghost Hunters mantra. But yeah, I know. I know using a Ghost Hunters, you know, the people from Sci-Fi Channel, Taps, Grant Hawes, and Jason whatever. Grant and Jason. Them guys from the Sci-Fi Channel with the Ghost Hunters TV show with the Atlantic Paranormal... The Atlantic Paranormal Society, TAPS, T-A-P-S, I think that's right, the Atlantic Paranormal Society. It's kind of odd that they would, yeah, I guess TAPS works. But still though, those guys, they have a set of criteria. Outside of the Ghost Adventure guy, they're like the, or were, kind of still are, the authority on the ghost photos and ghost stuff, this, that, and the other. And which site, This Week in Paranormal, I think, is the site that advertises Amy Bruni, and I forget her boyfriend, husband's name, but he was part of the TAPS group at one time, along with her. I think it's where they met. And she's still got a show with him, I think, called Kindred Spirits, that's on the Destination Channel. And the site weekinweird.com does a lot of advertising for them, and I think there's even an article about them. But still, so you know, the Ghost Hunters people still kind of got a hold on everything. So like I was saying earlier, the guidelines I get from Grant and Jason and anybody else from the TAPS team, so to speak, says if you can explain it away just by looking at it, or just sitting there, and it could be this or it could be that, then you must take said evidence and throw it out. Throw it out, not throw it out. I was just being cute. Still, you got to take said evidence and throw it out if you can explain it away with any type of certainty or any type of plausibility. And again, when I click on this photo, it all looks like motion, a touch of motion blur and bad lighting and shooting through a window or just shooting through a. Yeah, I got. Now that I look at it more, it looks like shooting through a dirty window. But still, shooting through a window. Bad light refraction, and again the quote-unquote screaming head and shoulders above the open car open it's more of a Jeep, I don't know why they say car, but open car door is perfect. Looking at the photo where a normal on-camera flash would be for a 35 millimeter film camera, because I have said I have a 35 millimeter camera. It's a Pentax, it's a really good camera, it's been through a lot. And it's got a on-camera flash, or a mounted on-camera flash. It's separate, but you know, you mount it on top, and like I said, the picture shows pretty much the flash where it would be if it was directly reflected, like shooting through a window or really dense smoke and or fog. So again, if you can explain it away pretty confidently and present those facts as reasonable doubt that it's not a ghost photo, then you must take said evidence and throw it out. So we are going to throw it out. That's me wadding up the photo and throwing it out, because it is just a junk photo. Next photo. Ha! This is a good photo. It looks pretty, pretty good. Next photo. Photo number two. The Woman of Alcatraz. This photo was taken. Wow, can't even read my own writing. This photo was taken at the former prison site Alcatraz, a place to be considered to be haunted. Haunted. Of course, everything's haunted. Some say the most haunted in the USA. The photo taker, and I won't call her a photographer because she's just snapping pictures with her phone. So the photo taker, Sheila Sillery Walsh. Sheila, the photo taker, Sheila Sillery Walsh. Sheila Walsh. I think it's Sillery. Sillery. Sheila Sillery Walsh. The photo taker took a photo through a viewing window of a maximum security style prison door. It's according to the photo, like I said, I have all 12 saved on my computer, but according to the photo I'm looking at, it looks like they took the phone and placed it up to the window, and with no flash or anything, just took a photo. And the photo looks like pareidolia, the phenomenon of looking at something and seeing a human face, like just random patterns in like your bathroom wall or just anywhere. And then as you're kind of looking through them, you see a face, and that's something the human mind does all the time, because it's our brains are pattern recognizing machines, and anything that looks remotely like a face or anything that any design that just looking at anything, I can tell you this from experience. I had a tile wall that was that had random, like, I guess looked like a runny paint or whatever, I don't know, kind of splatted on paint or whatever. And as I would be in the shower or in the tub or on the commode before it was changed, I would look at it, and every once in a while I would see a handful of faces staring back at me. And I know now that that was nothing more than my brain looking for something in a random nothing. And that's basically, or not basically, that's what this is. Because if you look at more than just the quote-unquote lady that's in the photo, you can see a bunch of other darkness and patterns and stuff. You can, there's a, I don't know if it's part of the window or part of the light from the room or what, but on the glass, I guess, looks like a smudge or something. And you stare at that long enough, and it looks like a little toy D&D character type thing you'd put down on a D&D map. But before I made that connection and looked at it, it looked like just a smudge or just an artifact or anything like artifact or something from the camera. So you look at this long enough, you look at the other part long enough, and being predisposed, kind of like MVPs. Wow, kind of like EVPs. Where if you don't know what the is saying, you're not going to hear "I love you." But whenever someone tells you sounds like "I love you," you hear through it. And yes, I purposely said I love you like that in the beginning, just for giggles. But now that you're just to run a quick experiment, now that you're primed to hear "I love you," I was not trying to say the words "I love you," but how many times did you hear the words "I love you" in that last nonsensical crap? That's what an EVP is. And that's basically what this is, making something out of nothing. The visual form is pareidolia. I don't know the audio form, because I'm not here examining or investigating EVPs, electronic voice phenomenon. It's been so while since I've actually had to talk about that or anything like that. I'm just gonna ahead and move on from that. But still, it's just pareidolia and kind of an artifact of the camera, mostly an artifact of the room. And our brain goes, "It kind of looks like a face. Oh, it's a woman." And now we can see it when we couldn't see it. Basically, all it is just a bad photo and pareidolia. Ah. And now is photo 3. Angelic figure caught on wildlife camera. Angelic figure caught on wildlife camera. Wildlife cameras are basically trail cameras. This is a image from a guest off of Coast to Coast AM. The old Art Bell show. Well, he's not on there no more. I forget who the new host is. I don't listen to that show. Never really have. I just know who Art Bell is. But the caller or guest of the Coast to Coast show, Coast to Coast AM, if you want to listen to it, all kinds of crackpot theories and whatnot. I've heard bits and pieces of it because my boss likes to listen to it. Gag me with a spoon. But I digress. And his name, only known by the show, is Dingo, or Guest Dingo. I don't know why I want to call himself Dingo, because that's if I'm wrong, someone can tell me I'm wrong. But I've always thought that was a word for wild dogs that were very chaotic and unkept, and well, not unkept, but unpredictable and unorthodox, and not unorthodox in a good way, unorthodox in a bad way, as in just like off their rocker, say do anything. I guess that's why they call them dingoes, and they have a expression down in Australia in the outback, and that was not an Australian accent, that was more of a Russian in there, but still, they say crazy as a dingo. And if you've got a saying about you, saying you're crazy, saying something's as crazy as you, i.e. crazy as a dingo, then you're crazy. And I don't know why you would nickname yourself Dingo on a radio show that already scoops in at least half, if not all, the crazy people in the world. But I digress. And on top of being named Dingo, he is also a law enforcement officer. Quick annotation or author's note or whatever. Well, not author's note, but more of a podcaster's note, is saying he's a law enforcement officer. Supposed to give him some type of extra gravitas, I guess, which is a logical fallacy. Kind of a, I don't know if it's a technical straw man, but I've called it a straw man before, which I'm probably wrong, but it is a logical fallacy, which is an argument from authority and our power. So just because this guy is a law enforcement officer, i.e. police officer, i.e. cop, i.e. man with a badge that can put you away and put you in jail and make your life miserable, we're supposed to believe him because he is part of the authority of the government, and well, of his state at the very least. But so, you know, it's kind of like the old the police officer seen him, why would he lie about it? Well, maybe he's not lying about it, maybe he just misremembered. Also, it's a picture from a trail camera at night, so it's not a color picture like most some pictures are from trail cameras. I have a buddy that has a trail camera that I don't know if he still hunts, named Ralph. Used to do the R&R horror movie podcast with him. That's coming back soon. Just gotta figure our schedules out and whatnot, and I actually gotta ask him his schedule. But he's a hunter. Like I said, I don't know if he's been hunting up in Colorado where he moved, but all the years that I've known him before he moved, he would show me pictures of deer on trail cams, and during the day it would be color photos, pretty nice color photos too, of, you know, scenery, a deer, the ass end of a deer, the head of a deer, and every once in a while you'd get a really good shot of a deer, and the ones that weren't in color were in, for the lack of a better term, black and white, or FLIR, which is a version of thermal imaging, and it's the exact same thing that the police officers use, or police helicopters use, to keep eye on people running from the cops on the ground at nighttime. So whenever they like ditch and run into a nicely thick forest or somewhere like that, the flare helicopter can keep an eye on them because it is a body temperature based system of tracking. The trail cameras flares. Almost say flares, but FLIRs are a little more powerful than a trail camera one, but still, FLIR is FLIR, and when you shine lights into it, certain things happen. But I don't want to step all over my story. You know, the impetus of that diatribe about arguing from authority is that the law enforcement officer was the one that posted the eerie, quote-unquote, photo under the heading of strange figure on wildlife camera. According to to Mr. Dingo, the guest, guess they forgot his real name, or he didn't supply it, but still, you know, that's really, really, has a lot of veracity and, you know, doesn't quite hold water when you can't find someone's, name, at the very least, a hometown. But nothing like that. According to Mr. Dingo, and said officer, before the taking of this photo, the owner of the land and trail cam called the police and complained about trespassers on his land, maybe poaching or hunting without his permission, so he calls the police. Once the officers got there, which no telling how long it took them to get there, They searched around, you know, with their flashlights and whatnot, and didn't find anybody at the moment of coming to the, I guess it was a ranch? I don't know. It doesn't say, but, to the person's property and going around on his property where he has a crap ton of, I think it's a couple acres or so, maybe more than that. And they found nothing. As the owner of the property woke up the next day and took down his trail cam and went through the photos, looks like the trail camera found something, and it is the picture that I'm looking at right now. And as the camera was, you know, looked at. I think I've already said that, but I forget where I left off. As the camera was looked at the next day, they found photos on it. Photos of what I could tell from what I'm looking at. There, I'll click on it to take a peek at it. It looks like someone, a real person, was caught on the trail camera. Looks like he was caught at the exact perfect time to where he was shining his flashlight towards the camera, and maybe even moving it around a little bit with the light, and the camera was standing in front, and the camera caught him shining his flashlight almost directly, if not directly, straight at the camera, blowing out most of him and his surrounding parts. Blowing out meaning making parts of the photo so bright that all you can see is white, and it's like a white outlined figure, and it looks like he's either pointing his flashlight at the camera, or he's got his back to the, now that I look at it, it looks like he may have his back to the camera and he's shining in the light in front of him, and that makes more sense now that I'm actually looking at this photo. It makes more sense of why the there's angelic light looking wings behind him, and you can see the orientation of his body. He's looks like he has his shoulder, you can't really see where his arm goes because of the blowout and too bright of quote unquote the angel wings that are behind him, which are just light wings, or just wings of light that are made by light and not really wings at all. I don't know how much more clear I can make that it is not a picture of an angel. It's just a picture of light, and like I said, these photos are set for night photography along with flare, so they've got a slower shutter speed. So it's going to take the photo, and he's going to move around a little bit. Maybe he was looking over to the looking at the photo, be over to the right a little bit, and then maybe down to the right a little bit, and then as the photo finishes taking, which probably took maybe a second, maybe a 30th of a second, looks. Probably about a 35th of a second. It caught all of his movements and blurred him out and stretched him out and made him look like something they're not. And if you want to test this theory yourself, go get you a film camera. You don't even need to be a FLIR camera. Go get yourself a film camera and set the shutter speed to, I don't know, a 35th of a second, a 20th, 25th of a second. And just get a small little light, just a lighter works, and sit in front of it and hit, and then make sure you got like a little plunger clicker or remote start on a digital camera or remote picture taker on a digital camera. Set it where you want, set in front of it, hit the button, and just move the light around, and then see what kind of type of picture you can make. And I bet you with a little bit of trial and error, you can recreate this picture with your own flashlight in your living room. So again, using the ghost hunter logic and criteria, if you can explain this photo at all, or any of the footage or anything at all, you must throw it away. And again, it looks like, I'm looking at it again here, it just looks like someone, either one of the police officers, and it does, I don't know, it looks like the guy got maybe like a machete or a billy club in his hand, in his other hand. But it could be one of the police officers, or it could be one of the trespassers that the camera caught. We don't know exactly what time the police officer showed up, and the trail camera information is it is a wild view camera. It was took on 7/04/2011 at 2200 hours and 54 minutes and 16 seconds. So I don't know if that was the right, I don't know what 22 hours is, but I don't know what 22 hours is, but I don't know if that was the time the police officers were rocking around, or that was the time whenever the call for trespassers on the person's property was made. But either way, it is a picture of someone with light refraction and blurring to make it look like he's got wings behind him. And to be quite honest, if you really look at the photo, it looks more like a picture of a fairy than it does an angel, because the way the light loops are, they look like fairy wings and not angel wings. But that's just no D&D player here. Picking nits. And the biggest nit is it's just a photo of a human being. Nothing more, nothing less. And now, photo number 4. This photo is of a man named Ike Clayton dressed in a cowboy outfit, took in 1996. This photo was took by his friend, who was unnamed for some odd reason, taken in Tombstone, Arizona, in the famous graveyard, Boot Hill. He was dressed up, let me click on the photo here, guys. Yeah, he's dressed up, almost look like he's dressed up like Doc Holliday. Or maybe Wyatt Earp. More, yeah, he's got more of a Wyatt Earp mustache going on there, the way he's got everything. The Tombstone Wild Earp from the movie Tombstone, not, you know, the real Wild Earp. Well, the real Wyatt Earp might look like this, but he looks more like the movie version. But he's standing there, you know, got the mean, menacing, unsmiling look, because, you know, he's being a cowboy. Got himself a six-shooter across his chest. Looks like he's trying to shoot a bird off his shoulder. And just, you know, it's a pretty cool little photo. Nice black and white. I would have audited sepia tone myself, but, you know, that's just me. And what's this in the background? It's supposed to be a ghost cowboy. Yes, a ghost cowboy in the background. And they have to, if you just look around, just kind of, if you didn't know where it was at, you wouldn't be able to find it. But it looks like a person standing in the background, but according to them, when they took the photo and looked at it later, they seen the figure, so to speak, in the background of the photo, and so they was just like, "Holy shit, there's someone in the background of the photo. What should we do?" Upon further looking at the photo, there's like, "Let's see if we can recreate this," and there's no recreation photos for a side-by-side, but given enough time and at the very least the right type of day, I'm pretty sure this could be recreated. But outside of, you know, maybe accidentally catching somebody taking a poop or taking a pee in the background, because that's what it kind of looks like, more like just someone sitting on the ground or whatever. But instead of accidentally catching somebody, you know, sitting on the ground or squatting, popping a squat in the woods thinking nobody's going to take a photo of them, it looks more like shadows. Either out of place shadows, like manipulated in some sorts, but I'm going to assume that this ghost, it was on the negative, which that's harder to manipulate, because I'm going to assume they was using film cameras or film, because it was a 1996 photo, taken in 1996, and it looks like they're using high ISO, unless if it's just the digital quality of the photo, but it looks like a 100 ASA or 100 ISO, whichever you prefer. They're both pretty much the same. The film grain, how grainy and how crappy it'll look, and the higher the ISO / ASA, the finer the grain, the better the picture quality. Or is it the other way around? The lower the ISO or ASA, the better. I don't know. It's one of the two, but I'm pretty sure it's the higher the ISO, the finer the grain, and the better the details come out. So yeah, this looks like a 100 ISO or 100 ASA film, you know, so the pixels or grain, as
old timers used to call it. Nah, get off my lawn.
But still, the grain or pixels or grain in this case, since it is a film photo, very fine, not as fine as it could be. There is 150 and even 200 ISOs, but that's for like sports photography and stuff like that. So I'm assuming this is 100 ISO, maybe 80 ISO. I don't know if it's regular film camera stuff that you can take to a photo mat and get it developed in an hour. It's probably 80 to 100. So it's nothing too special, but it's normal. You guys better know that I love you, because I'm interrupting my eating of kind of deer ramen chili type stuff, which has good deer meat in it, and doing this podcast and talking about fake ghost photos. Time to take another bite. Oh yeah, and other podcasters, if anybody ever listened to this, guess what button I use? It's called the pause button. Just took a couple big massive bites of my deer concoction, and you guys did not know any different, because I did not keep the recording going as I was calm, like some podcasts do. I used the pause button. See, just like I did then, and guess what? That was in the middle of a sentence. And again, back to the photo. Looking at, let me click back on the photo. Yeah, and like I said, the darkness or the shadows and the lightness and the total I don't want to say glare, but the total oeuvre of everything is perfectly in line with what's behind him. It falls in line with the shadows and darkness and the white, especially when they zoom in on it. It just shows you what the rest of the bushes look like. And when looking around, it just looks like shadows and light and just an odd trickle of light. And like I said in the earlier photos, our brains are predisposed to patterns, and especially human faces, and it's called pareidolia. And that's exactly what this is. It's just, you look around, you see, and there's a tree in the background. If you look at it, it kind of looks like a face, or maybe even a rearing horse, but it's just a fucking tree/bush type thing. Oh, and there's over to the left side of the photo, looking straight on, there's a darker patch of air. It looks like darker foliage, or maybe even shadow on rocks, and one of them looks like an Indian. Off in the far distance, just kind of standing and pointing. If you just kind of look at it and say it's an Indian, it kind of turns into an Indian with like a little headdress and look like he's pointing very far off in the distance when it's a closer rock. Not too close. It's not like in the foreground. It is in the background, but it's not as far away as what it may be if it was a person. Just like this down here, all the proportions are wrong. Even if he was sitting down, he would have to be in the ground. So it's not a person. And it's just the light and grain of the photo, you know, making it look like a person, because it's, you look around the rest of the area where the supposed ghost cowboy is, there's a lot of light and dark and some other things that could be misconstrued as people or fairies or whatever. So, you know, again, using the ghost hunter's logic, if I can explain it away in a very cogent matter, and without the original film and or negative to take a peek at it and see exactly what it is, without it being blowed up and maybe even enhanced, because you know they probably enhanced it when they blew it up in the right hand corner and sharpened up some of the edges and whatnot, which will and does make it look more like a person than what it really is. And like I said, it's just a trick of the light and a trick of your mind. Like I said earlier, whenever I was in the bathroom, either taking a poop or in the tub taking a soak or whatever, the old paneling we used to have was paint splatter. Well, for lack of a better term, paint splatters. And it was just random noise and random depictions of nothing. And as I would sit there and poop and just kind of gaze off into the paneling or in the tub, kind of soaking, turning into a living prune, I would see faces, some of them smiling, some of them evil, some of them in a cluster, some of them all by themselves. But no one else would see them because, you know, I wouldn't point them out, because if I pointed them out, it would be prime them to see it. And I would rather them tell me seeing faces in the paneling independently, and no one's ever told me that. And I take that back. I think my cousin may have said something about it, but he's only said it like once or twice, and was just like and we both agreed it was just random pattern recognition, because that's all it was. Because it was just random. Just imagine if you had a off-white color piece of paneling, and someone took gold paint and kind of flung it on it, and then let it drip down and make its own little like paint splatter drip down thing. You would find just about anything you wanted to in there. It's kind of like a Rorschach test. You see what you want to see and not what's really there, which is random nothingness. So this photo of the ghost cowboy is just another case of pareidolia. That's going to be a running theme here with this set of photos. Is a lot of it's going to be pareidolia, and a lot of it's going to be just misremembering and just other things. And I'll get to those when I get to those. Next photo. Photo number 5. The Ghost of Guildford. This is a photo that was took in England in the March of 2012. This photo was photographed at the Mount in Guildford, which was also taken by amateur photographer Mark Baker, age 37, who took the photo and claims that there is was no one around, and then that there is a white figure in the middle of the photo. And I'm looking at the photo right now, which he also protests that the photo is not altered in any way, which is fine. I can believe that the photo is not altered in any way whatsoever. But looking at the photo, there's obviously something, or something in the middle, when but there's not. There's obviously nobody around. It's obvious that he's... Ooh, I just now noticed this. It looks like he was shooting through a window. Because it looks like there's raindrops on the window. Either he was shooting through... Either there was raindrops on the lens, or there's raindrops on the window he was shooting through, like he was in a car or something. Which, actually hurts him a little bit here, because shooting through a window, just like we seen earlier in the cop photo, can be more detrimental than helpful. But I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt and just assume that it's either on the camera lens itself or it's just artifacts of the photo. And we're gonna go ahead and go into some analysis here. It's obviously due to the photo. It is obvious, obviously very, 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 very foggy out. And he probably used his... I don't know. It doesn't look like he used his flash, or the whole thing will be blowed out. But he could have used a directional... He could have been using a directional flash. But let's say he's not using a flash, and let's just say he's got the got it set on a low. Got it set to where it takes a good photo. So like I was saying, it's probably just the flash off the camera, especially if he's using a normal or a good film camera. The flash will be a little more directional than most, because, you know, on most disposable or digital cameras or even cell phone cameras, the flash is a little more directional than most flashes that disperse, because especially on phones, which it's kind of what this looks like it was taken by. It doesn't say in the article. Most phones also double their flash as a flashlight. So the flash on a phone is a little more directional than a flash on a digital camera or even an off camera flash for a professional SLR camera, single lens reflex camera. Had to think for a second. Which, if you don't know what that is, you can look it up. DSLR is digital SLR, or SLR, just go to Google and type those letters in, or digital single lens reflect. So, you know, look those up and you'll get a description on how those type of cameras work, which is just normal, like a normal camera. Or it could be just the light from the area, because it does look like a, I'm really close to the mic. It does look like a decently lit up area, and like I said, it could be just a focal point of light that you can't see through the fog above the tree line here, or it could be just the way the fog is moving. Because I know one time, me and my friend was in my car. I was driving. He was high on mushrooms, so he was enjoying the fog. I was not high on mushrooms because I had to drive, but he was high on mushrooms. But still, driving through the fog, even with my headlights on, which are super directional, and they still dispersed a little bit like this. And wherever they was pointing, they're was solid, quote unquote, fog that I drove through, because the direction of the headlights, since those lights are technically directional, so they make a hard spot, so to speak, for lack of a better term, in the fog, which makes that piece of the fog or part of the fog look solid. And I can tell you from experience, they're not solid, and they're just fog, just like this photo. It, like I said, could be just someone taking a photo, a creepy-looking photo, outside, out of their window, or out of the car window, it looks like. Or is it even... Is that just digi? I don't know, it looks like he shot... It looks just like very low-res photo. But still, it is just light. Because light through water particles does crazy things. And, of course, we're not seeing a rainbow here, but... At the very least, we are seeing refraction and reflection of light. Once light is manipulated, whether it's by force or just by going through water particles or whatever in the air, it does all kinds of crazy stuff. Just look at what happens whenever you try to grab something in a clear pool. You reach down and you inevitably miss it, because you reach where you think it is, and the refraction of the light makes it to where whatever you were going for, not in the position you think it is, because the way the light is being moved around and manipulated and bent and curled and whatnot in the water makes you see where something isn't. because of the reflection and refraction of the light coming through the clear pool water. Kind of like when you look at the side of a clear pool and you stick your hand down, when your hand breaks the surface of the water, it looks like your arm's in one spot and your hand's in another spot, when it's not. It's just the way the light moves through the water. And this photo is just light moving through water, and it just happens to look like either someone has a flashlight, someone's got headlights on it, or it's just the way the camera flash is, or the light, the natural lighting is. It just, you know, that's probably the most concentrated part of the fog. So it looks like there's someone in the middle when you take a picture, because when you take a picture, whether it's digital or film, you're capturing light. So if the light is making some sort of weird patterning at the moment you take the photo, boom, you have a weird pattern on your photo. And it's very easy, well, maybe not easily explained. I've tried here, and it's not very easy, apparently. And I still think it's a combination of pareidolia, there's that word again, and light refraction, making it look like there's some type of aura in the middle of the photo. So, light refraction and pareidolia.
Next photo.
And our next photo is Fireman Captures Ghost in Burning House. The photo was took by Douglas Tipold, who was called to a house fire in Gary, Indiana. While Douglas was waiting for his partners to unravel the hose and take care of business, he snapped a few shots of the fire because it was an interesting fire, and also probably for report purposes. He took pictures, and as he was scanning through the pictures, he noticed on this one certain picture that he thought he seen someone in the left-hand window. And just like most of the other ones, or all of the other ones, it's just more pareidolia. And I don't understand why they focused in on the one to the one to the left, because the one to the right also looks like there's a person standing there, almost like a fire elemental, like he's getting ready to throw a fireball out the window. Or it looks like some magic card or something, but it looks like there's somebody in the right window as well. If I look close enough to the... Yeah, close enough in the dark, in the door, it looks like a face screaming out. Little bitty teeny weeny, almost looks like a log cabin type house is burning. So it's, just a trick of the light and pareidolia. Not much more to say, except for this is also a argument from authority, since we have a fireman, you know, someone who has a lot of authority when it comes to seeing fires, but not much in the way of pareidolia or anything like that. So he doesn't quite understand that what he's seeing is just a trick of light and a trick of shadows, and his brain trying to figure out what's going on and pattern recognition. So, like I said, this is a biological fallacy, and it would be an argument from authority with pareidolia sprinkled in.
Next photo.
Photo number 7. The Virgin Mary, so to speak. This photo was took by a family in Kirtland, Ohio. They were shocked at the photo. At the time, their daughter Erin was battling leukemia. The photo shows little Erin running around with sparklers, with someone standing next to her. She is now cancer-free. Yay for her! Good for the little girl. She went into remission because she, you know, that happens sometimes, you know, right, doctors and whatnot. And the cancer-free happy ending. But this photo is not what it seems. So, because the little girl is cancer-free, which is because of the doctors and her therapy, and possibly chemotherapy or radiation therapy, and the doctors and medics. And the people that took this photo are trying to say that the photo depicts the Virgin Mary standing behind her. You look closer at the photo, it looks like double exposure. Not this time, not pareidolia, but double exposure, because it is that plus the stretching of light, because it looks like the camera is on a slow shutter speed, because they're at night playing with sparklers, and you can see all around the photo with the little girl that has cancer and someone's arm that's in the left shot of the strain. It's less left part of the frame. There's light circles of where the sparkler has been, because the shutter was open so long. And also, like I said, it could be double exposure, or it could have been someone standing behind her, take the picture, and then the person moved and they're no longer there, and the photo picks up there's still image there, because this does not look like the Virgin Mary. It looks like somebody in a t-shirt and pants. The last time I checked, all depictions of the Virgin Mary, she wore a shawl and a dress type thing, not pants and a t-shirt. And also, looks too tall to be the Virgin Mary, and the hair is not quite long enough. But still, though, the Virgin Mary don't wear t-shirts and don't wear t-shirt and cargo pants. It looks like, or at the very least, jeans. This is double exposure, or low exposure, to where the person's picture, the person that's lit up behind them, and then as the little girl runs by or is running around, that person either disappears or moves out of the way, and the camera doesn't check her because she has darker clothes on. But it catches all the light and captures her, and it makes it look like she's still standing there. That one's more unlikely, but then double exposure, so I'm just going to go with double exposure. And again, boys and girls, we are using the ghost hunter's logic here, which is if I can explain it away with pretty good evidence and pretty good explanation and whatnot, then I have to throw it out. And I have to throw it out because it's easily recreated as double exposure, and I could probably redo that photo right here and right now and post it if I wanted to, but I'm not going to because it's double exposure.
Next photo.
The next photo is number 8, the most haunted nightclub in the world. This photo was took at the world famous, well, at the very least tri-state famous, where I'm at, Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky. AKA the most haunted nightclub in the USA. Club DJ and tour guide Wanda K believes that the photo that we're looking at, photo of a ghost that is climbing a now barricaded off staircase. Well, that's what the photo looks like. And not so much, because this is again, look who won the pony, Pareidolia. It is, let me click on the photo here. Click, click. It is, looks foggy or smoky. And actually, I don't see where she thinks it's climbing up the stairs. If you see it, I don't see the back of a ghost. Looking at it, I see the front of a ghost. Old man with a beard coming down the stairs, not going up the stairs. But, again, pareidolia is what you want to see and not what is actually there, because it's just like pattern recognition. My pattern recognition is of an old man trying to come down the stairs. Hers is at the back of someone climbing the stairs. And all it is, boys and girls, is either smoke or actually just looks like fog. Looks like someone had the door open and it was fog rolling in outside, rolling in. And as it was rolling in, it was trying to go up the stairs because it's... Like it's heavier, it's because the cold air is pushing it up, and as it dissipates, it wants to go up instead of down because it's becoming warm, or becoming warm, and warm air rises, and it looks like a ghost climbing the stairs, or to me, it looks like a ghost coming down the stairs, but it's just either smoke from the from cooking, smoke from people smoking cigarettes there, or just fog. Nothing more, nothing less. It's pareidolia again.
Next photo.
This one should be quick. Number 9. Ghost in an old truck. This is a photo of an eerie truck. And there's that word again, eerie. Old truck snapped by a police officer before it was towed off. When it was looked at later, the photo that is, it was like, it looked like there was an apparition inside the truck. And, that's about all I got here on the description, because that's all it was on the page. Let me click on the click. Yep, all that is background. Because if you look at the photo itself, before you look at the blowed up little circle or square in the bottom left-hand corner, that allows you to see said face that's not there, because again, all this is pareidolia. You look in the back of the truck, and you see the background of the truck and the trees, because it's a black and white photo. Looks like it's shot on 100 ISO, maybe even less, 80 ISO. So the grain's going to be there. And again, the background looks perfect. Everything moves along, and it's just pareidolia. It looks like a face that's not there because it's the shadows of the background and the background of the photo. And if you look in the other part of the background, there's like a rock-looking thing that looks like a I don't know, a dog or something moving around, but it's just a rock thing. So I can find all kinds of stuff in photos like this. So this is just, again, pareidolia. Nothing more, nothing less. Next photo. Number 10. The Waverly Hills Sanatorium Specter. This is from an even more famous place than Bob Mackey's, because this has been actually on television, on the actual Ghost Hunters television show. They did a Halloween overnight thing. This is a photo taken at Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Kentucky. It is believed that as many as 64,000 people were admitted here and died in Waverly Sanatorium. This photo was took at the infamous body chute, a.k.a. the death tunnel, or the tunnel they used to cart off the dead bodies that died of TB in a secretive manner, so none of the people that were living there or in the sanatorium would be depressed seeing the nothing but bodies every day for however long it was open, carted out of the place. So they just made a body chute, and that's what they used to cart them off so they can crematorize them, burn them up, because they didn't bury TB bodies, they cremated them. And this photo was taken by an actual professional photographer. Another one of those argument from authorities, but then again, I'm arguing from authority too, but still, this guy also has another strike against him. He is also a noted paranormal investigator from Missouri Paranormal. His name is Tom Halsted, and is at an overnight investigation. They were looking for something, so they found something. Self-fulfilling prophecy. It was taken at an overnight investigation. Some say it was doctored shortly before his death in 2003. Hesent was asked about the photo, and he replied with, "I have nothing to prove anymore." And looking at the photo, it does look like pareidolia, but also, if there's any suspicion of foul play or fakery or photo manipulation, you have to throw it out. You can't say this is a photo. This is a photo of a ghost. Whenever someone can look at you and say, "Well, so and so said it was faked, and this is how it was faked," well, you've got to toss it out. You can't use it as evidence. If this was a trial, this piece of evidence would be thrown in the garbage because, again, it can be somewhat proven or at the very least brought into doubt that it's an actual photo of a ghost because it has rumors of being fake. So we have to throw it out. Next photo. Photo number 11. Time-lapse ghost. This photo was taken by photographer Nathan Ziegler. No relation to Dolph, I don't think. It doesn't say. I don't even think they know who Dolph Ziegler is. He set up his time-lapse camera in a old pioneer cemetery at Milton Freewater, Oregon, to film the sunset. His camera was set to take a photo at 30-second intervals. Once the footage was reviewed, Ziegler seen a strange figure. The figure was only in one of the frames and none of the rest. Yes, they were took in 30-second intervals, but it could be it's time-lapse. It could be anything. It looks more like a water spout or a small daredevil, a dust devil, or it looks like somebody leaning against the tree, and it's time-lapse, so it could be someone there leaning against the tree and then leaning against the other far side of the tree where the camera can't see him, watching the sunset himself. And since he's on the other side of the tree in that 30-second interval, he looks like he's there and gone, because, you know, to take a step over to a side of a tree where a fixed camera can't see you takes less than 30 seconds, just a boop and you're out of the camera. It also, like I said, could be a dust devil or anything like that, because again, it is time-lapsed, and you know, it could be anything in time-lapse. You could have picked up a bird flying over the horizon at the very top of the thing, down, probably set on a low shutter speed, and at the very end, 30-second intervals, which means the shutter is going to be open for, at the very least, a minute or two. Or not a minute or two, but at least 30 seconds or so. So, you know, you're going to get all kinds of motion blur and everything. And I'm surprised he doesn't get more motion blur. But, again, there's no figure. It's time-lapse. I'm not even sure why we're even here with this one. But it's just a time-lapse photo of something that was there 30 seconds. There for 30 seconds, no more, no less, and gone. Could be anything. Could have been a bird flying by. Could have been someone standing there and there in front of the tree where the camera can't see him. Anything.
And now, last photo.
Photo 12, Hampton Court Palace Ghost. This photo was taken by a coach driver, Trevor Tye, T-Y-E, who had driven the coach load of tourists to the Royal Palace. This time, he ventured in to take photos for himself. On returning home, he looked at his photos of the marble staircase in the palace's public entrance, and he seen what looks like a figure of a young man kneeling. I don't know if it's at the top of the entrance or what, but it's supposed to be a young man kneeling. I'm looking at the photo now, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be looking at. But anyway, he looked of a young woman, not a young man, but still same difference, young woman, young man. I can't really see anything but noise and what looks to be a marble figure. And let's see here. He sent the photo to the palace guard, and they replied back with people seeing a little girl like that on that spot on occasion. Still, I don't think it's much of anything except for pareidolia and pattern recognition and confirmation bias. So, just pareidolia, and like I said, I can hardly see anything at all, let alone a ghost. It looks just like a bunch of noise. Too busy, as they would say in the photography world, too busy. It's all in all, just pareidolia and nothing more, nothing less. There's no ghost there. There's no ghost in any of these photos because ghosts don't exist, in my opinion. You can have a different opinion if you would like, but that would be a wrong opinion. Teehee. Podcast over. All right. Thank you for listening to The Frighteners. Don't get us confused with the movie, which is a great movie, but don't get us confused with the movie. This was 12 photos, or 12 ghost photos, that will convince you that there's such things as ghosts. Let me get to the, you hear that, folks? Paper, pulp and stuff. Let me get to the actual name of the article. 12 convincing paranormal pictures that will make you a believer. Or make you believe, not a believer. So 12 convincing paranormal pictures that will make you believe. That I don't know, in people's terrible photo taking, people's predilection to believe in stuff that's not there, people's predilection to, or yeah, preconceived notion to not believe in the scientific world and give God or ghosts the credit whenever the doctors save your little child. I don't know. There's a lot of hidden meanings in this title. But thanks for listening to the podcast. This was and still is Randall Wayne Snodgrass II. Bye-bye.